This year at Asda, in thousands of blind taste tests, hundreds of our products proved as tasty or tastier than M&S. We asked our new Chief Quality Officer, Michael Bublé, what he thought.
Well, I could have told you that. M&S tasted Asda price, right?
Put on a show this Christmas. Asda, that's more like it. Selected Asda stores online, subject to availability. For verification, see asda.com/tastematch. Independent tests from May 2023.
This episode is brought to you by Deliveroo, because anything goes this Christmas. Yes, even sprouts on a pizza or gravy on sushi. The rules are, there are no rules. Have a Cantonese on Christmas Eve or a Balti on Boxing Day. And when you're so over the leftovers, bring on the ramen. From big brands to local favourites, this Christmas, it's all on your doorstep with Deliveroo. Geographical restrictions, T's and C's, service and delivery fees apply.
Hey, it's me, Dave Stone, former co-host of the Boogie Monster podcast. From 2016 to 2023, myself and Kyle Kinane got together each week to ramble on about ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, and other mysteries of the universe. Or at least that was our initial intentions. But if you've listened before, you know that it usually devolved into disjointed rants about Vans and fried chicken. During that time, we also ran a Patreon page that offered up exclusive bonus episodes to our patrons, usually in the form of Q&A sessions. And even though the Boogie Monster is currently on an indefinite hiatus, we're offering up those old bonus episodes to the general population so that everyone can enjoy our old nonsense. Hopefully someday soon we'll dust off our microphones and resurrect the Boogie Monster, but until then, enjoy a blast from the past from your old pals Kyle and Dave. Thanks for listening.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. We can finally once and for all find out what happened with Judas Priest. Whether they broke up by themselves or they were pushed out by outside forces like the government.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
We started and I deleted it, but it was just because I came out of the bathroom eating M&M's.
were there M&M's in the bathroom?
Yeah, I gotta keep candy back there because Rachel doesn't like it in the house. Oh. She was tempted by it. So I,
whereabouts
I
in
got,
the bathroom?
I got toilet sweets.
You keep it in the upper tank?
I'm not telling you, dude.
Get a little Tupperware floating in the tank?
No, they don't have to be hidden that bad. They're just in the cabinet there. Mm. But I did open some gummy bears, like it's like a big bag, and then there's a humidity to them now.
What do you mean?
Like, you know, fresh gummy bears are like dry on the outside,
yeah,
and then if it's humid,
man,
they get sticky.
I put some on New Year's Eve. I was having tequila, and I put some gummy bears in the glass of tequila,
yeah,
just like as a garnish, and then I left them in there. Like, I drank the drink and the ice and just left it. And the next day, those gummy bears, like, tripled in size.
Oh, like a Jell-O shot. Did you eat them?
I don't remember if I ate them or not. I think I did.
It infused?
But, like, they went from tiny to, like, gigantic.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't Frankenstein gummies. It's good times.
I got an offer. I got an offer to do a private show for the daughter of a billionaire.
Really?
I don't know if I should say yes to this thing. It's a weird, yeah.
Up those fees.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the nice part, but like just a dinner party in Beverly Hills.
Wow.
This is some ladies turning 50, and I'm her favorite comedian.
Really?
I think you got me confused.
No, dude, you're a lot of people's favorite comedians.
Not billionaires.
By the way, somebody, Ari Shaffir, somebody tweeted out, like, who are your five favorite current working comedians? And there was a thread with just hundreds of replies. But I just scrolled through there. Your name popped up several times, buddy.
Yeah, we're out there working.
Several times.
We're out there working. Anyway, I guess I'm going to say yes to that gig. But, yeah, man, eat them fat gummies. Eat them fat tequila gummies.
Hell yeah, man. Welcome to the Boogie Monster bonus Q&A. Where we are going to cue you right in your fucking
bonus
A.
Q's and A's.
Bone you right in the A.
Q&A. Q&A.
Appreciate you guys.
A lot of coffee. Singing today.
Appreciate the patrons.
Appreciate you, bro.
We really do. It's kind of, we've been doing it for a couple years now, and it's kind of a routine, but I don't ever want to gloss over the fact that I appreciate the shit out of your $4. Mm-hmm. Or some of you guys, even more. There's several people throwing in 10, 12, 15 bucks. Feel free to do that, too, if you just have excess income laying around the house. Throw it our way.
You know, that excess income everybody has in this day and age.
But seriously, thanks, guys. So. And if you have any suggestions, by the way, sometimes I worry, you know, are people going to grow weary of the bonus content? You know, there's something else you'd like us to do, we'll take suggestions. But until then, we'll keep answering your questions.
We'll see about that.
Yeah,
you can do it.
Well, I'll entertain the
I ain't a goddamn puppet. Can't buy me to dance. Anyway, so this billionaire's daughter wants me to do her birthday party.
Have you ever done a private show like that?
Not like that.
I've been offered a couple.
Like Richard Pryor in The Toy.
Yeah. I love that movie.
Oh, and him. Wonder Wheel? No. The black guy. Oh, okay.
I've had a few people ask, like, will you come to our anniversary party in Texas? And I don't even know, like, what to charge them. Like,
no, that's why I'm like, what do I have to talk about? It's a half hour. I'd do a half hour. You know, get my crowd work skills up.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done weird. That's the thing. As soon as I was like, this is. Obviously, money's nice. And I was like, well, where's the money coming from? Mm-hmm. If you're from this much money, am I just dancing for the villains?
Uh-huh.
I guess it was real estate. So slightly less villainous than.
Would you be open to request? Like, hey, you know, like someone like you, you don't do live material that's already been out on the special something. But something like this, if they were like. Yeah, well, she really wants you to do the pancakes in a bag joke. Would you do shit like that?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. If I were you, I'd be like, sure, whatever you want.
I don't know, but you're hiring me to be a comedian, but now you're just hiring me to do the hits. Like,
but I mean, it's a birthday party. That's what they want.
Bar mitzvah. Like, I'd never been to a bar mitzvah when I was a kid or a bat mitzvah. But I guess they spend so much money. They get like the real rich families will get. They'll get the celebrity to show up and sing. I don't know.
And that celebrity, they probably don't want to hear their new album. They want to hear the hits.
No, but comedy's different. Yeah, I don't know. True. I'm going to go and sit at a restaurant in Beverly Hills and do a half-hour set. It's not going to be good. But I guess I'll say yes to it. If it scares you, you got to say yes to it.
Hmm.
If there's a paycheck that you could use to wipe your tears away, even better.
Well, if they need an opener to,
yeah, I'm bringing a guy.
Slice off some of that fee.
Oh man. Anyway, Q&A. Adam Mullet, what is the best and grossest thing you have made in a microwave?
Oh Lord, you are asking the right guy.
Peace to the hidden beast. I'm trying to remember. I think I've just melted cheese on a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a slice of American cheese just getting sad on top of a thing.
Mm.
But I don't know what I've made. I don't know if, like, usually it's the bowls of chili that I put a bunch of gross shit on top of and just microwave. But I don't do that anymore. I make it on the stovetop.
Well, that one time, too, that you may have even had this in a joke about how you used coupons instead of a paper towel to cover it.
No, I still would always do that. Yeah, I don't buy paper towels.
Really?
I think it's such a waste. Like I'm like half a hippie, you know this.
Well, what do you use in lieu of that?
If it's just for cleaning up and everything, I just have towels. I get them dirty and I wash them.
What about like napkins for dinner?
I just have a towel. Wipe my face with a towel.
Okay.
And then wash the towel.
I get it. Like little shop rags.
Yeah, pretty much kitchen rags, you know. Mm-hmm. There's towels that hang off the stove. There's other ones that like, all right, this one's ratty and I'm making food. I'll use to wipe my mouth and my hands, wipe off where I ate, and then it goes in the wash.
Huh. Okay.
I mean, I use them a few times in a row. Like, I'm gross that way.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, paper towel. Like, or just have napkins. Like, every time you get fast food, they give you too many napkins, too many hot sauces.
Yeah.
And, I'm just like, I know this isn't the larger scope of, like, I'm still driving my fucking Jeep around.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, no, you give me that many napkins. I can't. That's another thing. Like, I hate seeing food being thrown out. Or just napkins. Like, always keep, I got napkins in my car. I got napkins usually in the pockets of every jacket I own. Just for picking your nose or whatever, mm-hmm. you know. But in a backpack, especially when you're like, oh, I ate some at the airport. I'm on the airplane. I want to wipe my hands off. Why? They've given you these things. Mm-hmm. And then they just get thrown out.
I've thought about becoming a handkerchief guy.
That I can't.
My dad used to be a handkerchief guy. And I remember like we'd be in church. And he would like whip it out, blow his nose, and then like touch me up with it. And I was like, no, what are you doing?
That I can't.
A snot rag?
Again. Napkins, mm-hmm. fast food napkins. Have that, mm-hmm. and then you throw that out right away. I can't imagine putting a snot rag back in my pocket. Mm. As much as like food waste here, like, okay, you wipe food off your mouth. And it was food. It was food that's on towel that's in the kitchen. It's not just boogers.
Quick, put it in my mouth.
Yeah. Ugh. But yeah, I would use junk mail to cover. So I guess that's what the grossest thing is. I use junk mail to cover stuff in a microwave. And somebody's like, you can't heat up the ink like that. I'm like, I'm fine.
Yeah, you gotta be careful with that.
Yeah, we'll see.
First responder this month was a first responder. Sounds like he's driving an ambulance.
I was trying to make the joke in when we were in wine country, because obviously we had all the fires, and it's always uh-huh. like, discounts for first responders. I'm like, what do you got for second responders? Like, I'm here now.
Robert Berberich. Pretty sure we need to hear more about Kyle's knife table and which one is his favorite at the moment. Which table is his favorite or knife is his favorite?
Table's over there. Table's still here.
Oh, you still got it. Okay.
Yeah, I kind of eased off on chucking knives into it. I bought a couple more knives. What did I get? A Best Tech and a Spider Co.
I got a Spider Co.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those are good.
I didn't get like some top of the line shit. Every time I go back home and I go to my buddy Jesse's house, he's always got cool shit. And he's got like, he got into the knives and watches game.
Uh huh.
And he's got all like, but he's the dude that I'm like, he was anodizing his own knives.
Meaning?
Like changing the color of the metal.
How do you do
that? Not painting.
Like, well, by solutions, chemicals?
Well, that's the thing. I'm like, this, like his house, I'm like, you look like a terrorist. Like, mm-hmm. you're going to get arrested. Yeah, just like a brick of 9-volt batteries all connected together. Like, plugged into one another. Like, he's a mad scientist with this stuff.
Huh.
In a pot, with whatever solution and electrodes going to the pot, so that's how you change it. And so,
what's the point? Why does he want to change?
Just because he tinkers.
Just aesthetics?
Just because.
I want to do it. Knife.
No, he's like in a constant state of experimenting. And I appreciate that. Uh-huh. Like, where are the, like, he doesn't have, his curiosity can't be satiated.
Okay.
And I like, so he's the one who got me into the RC cars. Uh-huh. And I don't know anything about mechanic, but he's the one that knows how to like, oh, if you up the amps here and change the voltage here, we could try and get top speed. So he's got, you know, videos of his cars hitting, you know, these wild speed, like with a speed gun.
Yeah.
And because he's a mechanic, and that's just what he does. He just never stops tinkering. Now it's like race drones, like the kind you see with the goggles on.
Wow.
He makes those. Then he was in the Philippines for work, and he bought a bunch of knockoff, like fake Rolexes and fake expensive watches.
Uh-huh.
Just so he can come home and take them apart and see how they work and see if he can put them back together. It's a good way to live.
That is.
And so that's why I get over there and I get excited about the stuff he's doing. I'm like, you anodize this, and this knife's cool. So I bought knives.
Well, that's cool, man.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Scott Etheridge asked Dave, in all caps, Dave, please tell us a story of the shady job you used to have. And then a bunch of follow-up comments on that. I never said it was a shady job. It's just a job that I'm not prepared to talk about at the moment. I will say that I'm going to talk about it soon.
Yeah.
And more than likely. I think I gave a disclaimer, you know.
I mean, you've been teasing it.
We got a thing that might happen. If it happens, I'm probably going to stay tight-lipped about this. If the thing that we got working doesn't happen.
Oh, boy, a tease for a tease.
Then I'll probably talk about it.
Look at you.
Yeah. And so, what did somebody comment? Hold on. I'm guessing that he worked in an adult video store pre-internet. Cum is an occupational hazard. Oh, yeah. Dude, he said, I have stories about semen in an old episode I listened. It's time to spill it, Dave. Yeah, the job wasn't about semen, but there was a couple of antidotes anecdotes, involving semen.
There's a couple of anecdotes.
It wasn't
involving semen. There's some poisons I ingested. I had to suck some dicks.
My job wasn't in the semen field.
Oh, the semen fields. Jesus Christ. All right, let's get off of wherever my mind was going to go with that. I was just on the Megan's Law website from recording the last episode, finding out what kind of goblins live nearby. Spencer Tassone, you walk past an ATM that's beeping and notice $20 hanging out of it. You look to see if anyone is around but don't see anybody. Do you take the $20 or let it lie and move on? Does your answer change based on location? If this happened in front of a bank, a convenience store, walking around a college campus, or amount of money? And then he's going to see me in Charlottesville and says, Dave, I hope you make it to Central Virginia sometime.
That's a great question.
I've found money before, and I've always, if I've picked it up, I've always looked. Like, you never want to be like, hey, did anybody lose this money? But stand there and see if you notice somebody going, patting their pockets.
I've done that.
And that's
I stepped on a $20 bill to hide it and then looked around to see if anybody was looking to find them.
Yeah. Yeah. I've done that. And I've been like, I think I found $300 in front of my old job once.
Wow.
And I came back. I went to my boss. I'm like, hey, I know you are like the supervisor. Like if one of your clients comes back in here saying they dropped a wad of cash, I have it. But
and
he's like, well, this is when I worked at a music store, and it was all scumbags.
Okay.
He's like, fuck them. Keep it. All right, well, I have it, if somebody says something. Uh-huh. So I kept that. Went to go see Guns N' Roses, found $100 sitting on the, just like, on the sidewalk, and kind of grabbed it, and did the same thing, like, all right, let's look around. It's like a crowd of people trying to get into a stadium. Like,
yeah. You know. Man, $300.
But I've seen it, but... This is going to sound, but I feel better. Like, if you see somebody pull it out of their pocket,
yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
drop.
That's different.
I don't know, $20?
20 is the most I've ever found, I think.
But see, hanging out of an ATM is a different thing.
Yeah.
Maybe you were supposed to have 100, you pulled 80, one bill got stuck in there. You grab it, sit there for a minute.
What about?
Count your money when it comes out of the ATM. That's the rule here. That's the lesson here. Count your money.
Yeah, I don't think I would just leave it hanging. For the next,
well, no, because then, well, then you're like, then okay, well, you're going to judge the morality of the next person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you do? If you take it, this is how I feel about found money. Is you know, all right, spend it like I found I was going to that concert. I'm like, all right, I'm buying drinks for whoever's you know with me at the beer station.
Yeah,
with
spread
that
the wealth.
Money. Because well, that's I didn't. That was extra money. When I was working at the music store, I was like, I need this money.
Yeah.
This is awesome. But yeah, you share it.
Mm-hmm.
Take it and share it. Put it into a good place in the world.
Yeah. That's a great way to deal with that.
So, yeah.
Alexander Hackle asks, hey, fellas, question for Dave. What are some go-to meals a rookie cook can make for his lady to impress? That's a great question. Alexander, why don't you email me?
Cheese on chicken.
And I'm going to give you a couple free copies of my kitchen survival guide. Just email boogiemonsterpodcast@gmail.com or contact me somehow. I'm going to hook you up, Alexander. But for the sake of the show, to answer your question, one of my favorite go-to meals that looks fancy and extensive, that's very, very easy, is my braised beef short ribs.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Get the little beef short ribs. You season that shit up. You throw them in a big roasting pan with some red wine, some garlic and shit. You wrap it with foil. You fucking cook that shit in the oven for like 3 or 4 hours. It gets all tender. Oh, boy. Braised beef short ribs. It's so easy, but it's like, oh, shit, this is like something fancy.
Like a big cut of meat. Yeah,
yeah, it's always... big hunks of just beef. It's real beefy and delicious, and you could throw some onions and button mushrooms in there, and you got this red wine gravy thing going on, and oh boy, it's real good. But yeah, email me, Alexander. I'll send you some free recipes. No problem, bud. Good luck with
that. Jordan Sumner says, would you rather be a Bigfoot with social anxiety or a really outgoing Bigfoot? Good question. Does the male Bigfoot species have a huge, beautiful hog or a cute little ding-a-ling like a gorilla? And he says,
just
love you guys.
Cute little ding-a-ling like a gorilla.
Gorilla's got little dinks?
Yeah, I've seen gorillas with little dinks, which is weird.
Really?
You know? But I'd like to think, and you know,
here goes a Google search.
I apologize if I'm bordering on homoerotic, but I've always liked to think that Bigfoot's got a huge hog. You know, it's Bigfoot.
Let me see the gorilla penis.
I might as well call him Big Dong.
All right. Oh. Well, that's a duck penis. I love seeing a big old horse dick.
Yeah. That's always weird.
Monkeys with big balls.
First time I saw that, I was like 11. I was like, oh my God, what's happening? Mm-hmm. Is everyone okay?
All right, well, now I'm down a wormhole, so yeah. Thanks a lot for that.
Yeah, gorilla dick sounds like a compliment, but
look at
it,
old gorilla dick over here. Well, now I'm in an article that says, why did humans evolve big penises but small testicles?
Hey, speak for yourself.
This is a whole thing. Anyway, well, yeah, okay, you think Bigfoot's got a, well, you think it's more man than monkey, then it's got a big old dick. I think I'd rather be, well, Bigfoot does have social anxiety. He's not trying to hang out with people. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's not anxious about it. He just keeps to himself.
Mm-hmm.
I think an outgoing Bigfoot would lead to your doom.
Yeah.
Hey, guys! Boom, you're shot. You're caged up. You know, you don't want to be.
No. No, that's how they've survived, by being elusive.
Unless you are the one Bigfoot, you learn some rudimentary English. Enough to explain yourself.
Like the one that in the Mount St. Helens volcano eruption. The one that was driving around in the Jeep with an army colonel.
Oh, yeah. The one that, you know, got a Purple Heart.
Lee Singleton asks, hey, Lee. Lee's my buddy from Pensacola. Mm-hmm. Good dude. Dave, you never steer me wrong on L.A. restaurants. I'm out there again in a few weeks. Where should I go this time? I don't know what I have suggested to you, Lee. I'm going to assume it's some of the obvious ones we've talked about, like Hal and Ray's and things, Gus's. If I haven't mentioned to you the Park's Finest Barbecue, not to be confused with Park's Korean Barbecue, which is also fucking amazing. If you like Korean barbecue, check out Park's. But for this is like Filipino-style Filipino-influenced American barbecue. The Park's Finest Barbecue, it's in Echo Park. And, boy, speaking of beef ribs, they got a smoked beef rib. Oh, boy. They charge you by the pound. Whenever you go to a restaurant, they're like, oh, this is, you know, $25 a pound. You got to always say, well, how many pounds is this one? And then, today they're about pound and a half.
Oh, okay.
But it's the best smoked meat I've had in L.A., Park's Finest Barbecue. They got this stuff called coconut beef. It's like kind of like a coconut curry pot roast type thing. But, get that. Get the tri-tip, but definitely also get the beef smoked rib at Park's Finest Barbecue. If you've already been there, holler at me privately, Lee. I'll steer you in some others. But in lieu of repeating ourselves about the same four or five that we always talk about, I thought I'd let you know about the Park's Finest. That's a good one.
Robert Smith, would you be a benevolent or a wrathful god? I was thinking about
case-by-case basis.
Yeah. Well, you know what? This is like to talk about the truly dark parts of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this yesterday because I went on a bike ride yesterday. And so for the first hour, it's just going uphill real slow. And I put headphones in. And I was listening to that podcast about the DC sniper.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that I didn't listen to the whole podcast yet. But I think wasn't the guy and his son.
I don't know if it was his son or like a stepson thing. I guess it might have been his son. But
I mean,
yeah,
I don't have to. Everybody knows what happened. Mm-hmm. So.
For some reason, I feel like it wasn't father-son, although that's what it appeared to be at first.
Well, this is where I was like, I got into this place talking about, I was like, well, if this guy was just, this is what happens when I'm a bike ride. I could just contrive whatever scenario. And in my head, I thought, I read from little snippets that I was reading that the DC sniper was basically he wanted to kill his wife. But so he went on the shooting spree to make it seem like when his wife got shot, it would be part of this random shooting spree. And his son was involved.
Uh-huh.
These are probably not the facts at all. Mm-hmm. But given the situation that I've just said, I thought like, oh, what should be the punishment? I was thinking about this, like, what should be the punishment for the guy? I was like, you kill his fucking son in front of him. You shot these people at random and took people out of their lives.
That was terrifying.
You torture this. You torture this guy by killing his son in front of him, so he knows how to feel. And I'm like, this is all processed as I'm just pedaling my bike up the hill at 3 miles an hour, and then I'd be like, God damn, Kyle, why are you in this hallway of your mind going like so? That's wrath. That's wrath. Uh-huh. And I was like, why are you thinking this way of like, this is how I would dole out justice? And I quickly backpedaled. But that's been part of my, I think, to answer the question, I would, against my better judgment, probably wrathful. Because that's how I feel. The road rage shit that I deal with, it's all about like, why aren't people following the system? You know, why are you special and you're going to abuse the carpool lane and we don't? And like, and there's a little part where you see somebody doing driving like a jerk and you're like, I hope you crash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's wrathful.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you crash. I'm like, well, that's not a cool, healthy attitude. But so, yeah, so that I don't want to answer that way. But if I'm being honest, I would probably be a wrathful God. But then I'd be a shitty God because that's me reacting as a human. A God is omnipotent. A God's going to know every circumstance. Oh, the reason you were driving crazy is because you had to get to the hospital, or the reason you killed people, you have something mentally wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not really your fault. But then you'd have to be like, well, I'm God. I made you in my image and I made a broken one, like some guy fucked up on the assembly line for you. So, I don't know. Wow. Okay. So I just thought that was going to be a simple question, but that's my answer. Dave, what do you think?
I mean, the primitive part of my brain agrees with you because I'm a defender of justice.
I could look in your face when you said that.
I
defender of justice.
I don't suffer shitheads very easily. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you're a God, you're supposed to, like you said, you know, you're supposed to be above all that. But thank God I'm not God.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, thank God I'm not you, buddy.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, case by case basis, there's some people. There's some people that definitely deserve what's coming to them. Yeah. And there's others that maybe even though they fucked up, okay, well, let's cut this person some slack based off of whatever.
Yeah, it's never knowing what someone's life was that led them to commit this act.
Mm-hmm.
As we were talking about in the weekly episode, that there's pedophiles that recognize they're pedophiles and it's a mental state of being. And they're like, I'm not acting on it, but I'm being honest with who I am.
Yeah.
And that's a weird can of worms.
Yeah.
Sex Punch Supreme asks, what is something sweet that tastes good when smoked? I'm asking this for myself.
Is that a drink or a move?
What's Sex Punch Supreme?
Yeah.
I'm not going to read into it, judging by the thumbnail.
Mm-hmm. Give her the old fuck punch.
Don't.
Nope.
No.
Okay.
No fuck punching.
Hmm.
What's something sweet that tastes good when smoked? You ever, like, smoke fruit?
Yeah, pineapple.
True.
Fucking pineapple, dude. I love pineapple so much.
Pineapple on a good salty meat?
Peaches.
Smoked peaches.
I got a buddy who I've talked about before, Craig Holzer out of Atlanta. He's like, he's the barbecue dude. That dude, not only is his technique great, but he's got a great barbecue mind. And he makes his own peach barbecue sauce. And he smokes the peaches and then purees them and then uses it as the base of a sauce.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
I would think, if you're already smoking wings or something, why not throw a few pieces of fruit in there just to see what happens?
Yeah. I haven't done it, but I would imagine apples might work, you know, smoked apple.
So like more, like, but a citrus.
Citrusy. I mean, pineapple, I don't know.
Coconut? I mean, I know you toast coconut.
Yeah. I don't know what you, I mean.
I think it's the sweet has to go against the smoke flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Like that kind, like citrus sweet seems like it would. Now I'm cute. Now I'm going over. What are other sweet foods?
Other than fruits?
That you could put in a smoker.
I don't think any. There's no naturally sweet food that's not a fruit.
There's smoked cheeses.
Yeah.
But how does that work?
Sweet.
I mean, there's sweeter cheeses. Yeah. I don't know. I think fruits.
Peaches and pineapples for sure. Maybe some apple slices.
Apples, peaches, pumpkin pie.
Ooh. Ooh. Like smoked sweet potato pie. Ooh, boy.
Smoke the sweet potatoes and then make them into the...
Yes.
Maybe this is something you gotta you gotta come back with next week about.
Keep talking.
New Epic Eats Bangin' Barbecue from McCoy's. Fire up your taste buds with a blend of smoky, sweet, and subtle spice. Epic flavor, epic crunch, epic eats. Cause only the real McCoy's tastes like the real McCoy's.
'Twas a night in November at your pal's Christmas party when an elf arrives. Oh, with a toffee nut latte.
Hey, everyone. Who wants a Starbucks?
Oi, save one for me. Get the group together for Starbucks festive favourites. It's IRL season. At a Starbucks near you. Subject availability while stocks last.
This episode is brought to you by ITVX. Whatever it is you're looking for, from hard-hitting drama to side-splitting comedy, ITVX marks the spot. There's so much to discover, like the total comedy genius show Changing Ends, starring little old me, Alan Carr. Or the groundbreaking new relationship show My Mum, Your Dad, hosted by Davina McCall. Stream free with ITVX, the UK's freshest streaming service.
Alexandra Onesto says, so people always make comments about their faith in humanity when stories come out about brutal killings or vice versa, like feel-good stories about someone doing good. However, do people not remember that public executions or sacrificial ceremonies used to be a thing? When do you guys think that shift happened? When did it become inhumane for these events to take place?
Great question.
Geez, the older I get, the more I can't watch videos where people fall or hit themselves. Well, I think... Yeah, maybe we are moving towards, you know, more civilized society and more about trying to treat people better. There's still some barbaric elements to the world. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still fucking women getting stoned in the Middle East for whatever fucking misogynistic nonsense their culture has in certain areas. Obviously, it's not a blanket statement about everywhere, but there's...
That's something we're not allowed to talk about in society. You're supposed to respect all cultures and all ethnicities and all that, and I do to a certain extent. But like, and I don't. I'm not going to give you specific examples because I'm uneducated. But there are places in the Middle East where that you're just allowed to kill or beat the shit out of your wife. Why do we have to respect that culture?
Because it's not. It's fundamentalism and extremism. Okay. You could do that. You pick any religion.
Okay, so it's more of a religion than a. Yeah, there's heritage culture thing.
Well, I think it's more about like, all right, what do you want to pick and choose? Mm-hmm. You know, I was, you know, raised Catholic under Christianity, and it's fine. Go to church. Don't be a dick. Fine. But Westboro Baptist Church, that's a sect of Christianity, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't baptism underneath Christianity? And they're the ones who thinks you should protest funerals with signs that say God hates fags. Mm-hmm. So... that's somebody taking it into the extreme. The same way somebody like, oh, well, you can stone a woman because her husband cheated on her, or she got raped and got pregnant by someone else, but that constitutes her cheating on her husband, and so we should stone her to death.
How does that constitute cheating?
Because there's backwards uncivilized parts of everywhere, of America, of everywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. There's a fucking grip of loonies out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go to anywhere, you go to like, all right, you know, read Under the Banner of Heaven, that book about Mormonism, like Mormon fundamentalism of like, no, I want, here's my child brides and, you know, hiding out from the government because I know what they're doing is illegal and having child brides. And that's a new religion. That religion's only a couple hundred years old.
Yeah.
So I like, this is how we're going to live. Mm-hmm. So I think that there has been a move towards, you know, a more civilized society. So I think that's why. I don't know why. Maybe just emotional development. Maybe we are advancing as a species to be a little bit more compassionate, even though it's hard to see that. Like, oh, let's not hang people in the streets as a lesson. We still execute people in this country. And as a person, and going back to the wrathful God thing, I don't think that's the word. Like, that's not the hill I'm going to die on of, like, but there's wrongful convictions. There's stuff like that.
Yeah.
Why do you have to come? Just keep them in prison. I'm like, yeah, I don't. Yeah, probably don't have to execute them.
I'm on the fence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if it was a shift or maybe just a continual advancement of moving away from the dark ages.
Yeah. It's funny because this is a question I forgot to ask on the last regular episode when we were talking about pedophilia and stuff. But I wonder when that became a law. That's something I'm sure I could Google. But, like, point being, you hear back 100 years ago.
You looked that up on your computer.
Yeah. But, like,
looking
for example,
up gorilla dicks over here.
You hear
that shit on your
computer. You know, you hear Charlie Chaplin dated a 13-year-old, or
yeah.
Jerry Lee Lewis married his 13-year-old, like, whatever. But, like,
yeah.
I wonder when it became, like, okay, you know, you can't do that shit anymore,
again,
assholes.
Maybe when enough people were like, hey, this is fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, more stories became more aware of it. Like, think about what you could do in a small community when it wasn't, even just, like, yeah, here's some rural, this is some country shit.
Mm-hmm.
And why? I mean, and I'm sure it was because of some sort of at some point, you know, the reason people had a dozen kids is because you need employees for your farm, and some of them are going to die.
Yeah.
It was looked at as like basically human livestock. We got to have a bunch. Some of them are going to get sick. Some of them are going to be worthless, and we need to keep the farm going. And when do you start doing that? Because the life expectancy is only 50 years old, so you start getting married off in the teenage years and start pushing out those kids. So, I mean, it was kind of just a survival thing, I think, at some point. Of like, no, it's, look, see, she's a lady. She's bleeding now. She's a lady. That means marry her off, start having kids.
Yeah.
I think that's just a basic advancement of the species type thing back in the day.
Yeah.
And now we are developed people and can make choices. And I don't know. Good one, Alexander.
Yeah.
This is a heavier Q&A. Daniel Rodriguez says, hey, Dave and Kyle, I know you guys have talked about your favorite comedians in the past, but what other forms of art have influenced your comedy that people wouldn't be aware of? Ooh, okay.
Well, I've made no secret that I'm a huge music fan, so, like, I'm inspired by music and musicians just as far as, like, the ability to take ideas and turn it into something, take an idea and turn it into a beautiful song, or, you know, trying to use that same, you know, approach to writing jokes and comedy, or, you know, also just, like, how certain bands or musicians might carry themselves throughout their career, you know, their artistic integrity or, you know, however you want to look at it that way.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know? Yeah, I've always
you didn't compromise.
Yeah, exactly. And I've always, like, daydreamed about, like, oh, I'd love to be the comedy version of that artist, of that band.
Yeah.
You know, as far as, like, you know, their success or their level of fame or their, you know, critical acclaim or, you know, whatever. But yeah, music definitely is an influence.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not a musical comedian, just some of those principles.
No, but just the path chosen. Anybody doing anything creative is already kind of like, oh, how do I start this? Especially music was hard. Like, all right, I got to learn an instrument. Then I got to meet other people that know instruments.
Yeah.
Then we got to get together on a schedule and figure out how to put stuff together.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I ever told you this story, but one of my I don't know if this is an accomplishment or achievement or realization, but years ago, I've talked about it. I used to work in radio. And one of my first radio gigs, I was like 19 or 20. I was working at this little alt-country station in Cumming, Georgia. And it's where I was introduced to the music that I love today, alt-country. And but about every Friday, we'd have these little bands come in. And even now, it's a little different with folks like Sturgill and Isbell. And, you know, they're having really good across-the-board success. But 20, 25 years ago, there was the most successful alt-country person still could barely sell a couple hundred tickets.
Yeah.
So we'd have these bands come in that were playing in town that night or that weekend. Mm-hmm. And just bands no one's ever heard of. And, you know, hopefully they're going to sell 50 tickets tonight, yeah. You know, whatever. But about every Friday they'd come in. And I would always, they'd come in, and I'd be the one that interview them. I'd greet them at the door and chit-chat, and then we'd put them on the air, and we'd have a little whatever. But they'd always pull up in like an 89 Volvo or a station wagon or a, you know, 78 Blazer. And it'd just be, you know, a couple people or sometimes four or five members of a band. But they were all just crammed in there. And I used to think, like, oh, man, even though these people are nowhere near famous, they're nowhere near successful, I would talk to them, and they'd be like, yeah, well, this is day 30 of a 50-day nationwide tour or whatever. Yeah. And I used to think, like, man, that is so fucking cool that even though these people aren't famous or household names, this guy hasn't been at his day job in 2 months because he's been traveling the country in his shitty little Volvo and his guitar playing in front of 30, 40, 50 people every night. And I used to think, like, man, that's about one of the coolest fucking things you could ever do. And this is way before I ever even thought about being a comedian.
Yeah.
And then fast forward 20 years later, and I'm the comedy version of that. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, I'm not famous. I'm not a household name. But, you know, I load up the fucking van or the Honda now and tour all over. And it's just, it beats a regular, boring day job, in my opinion.
It showed that there was other options possible. Mm-hmm. It's like you're not exposed. If your parents just, you get a job. You get a job and you pay your bills. Mm-hmm. And then what free time you have after a job and a commute and sleep, then you have your, then you explore your interests. Mm-hmm. And I never, that fucking never made sense to me to like at least not try.
Mm-hmm.
Like so many people just didn't even try to explore interests or just when you had a hobby, you relegated that to being a hobby and that will fit into your life when you have free time for it. And I was against that from early on of like just because I but also not to take away some people know what they want to do for a career. I never had that. I was going to be a guy with a job. I wasn't going to have a career. That's people like I know I want to be an engineer. I know I want to like you knew why you went to college. I just went because I thought you're supposed to go to college. And it you know took me 7 years. But so if I'm like just going to have a job anyway, why not try my damnedest to be good at these other things?
Yeah.
And not famous, but like, let me be good at it. And maybe if I'm good at it, there could be a reward. So that was why, it was always the music dudes. And it was always like, for me too, it was the punk rock guys because there was nobody was getting rich. You were just doing it because you love doing it.
Absolutely.
You had a thing that, and the thing you did made other people happy. You see everybody, there's a community at a show, and everybody's there, and they played music, and everybody danced around. It wasn't like the mean mosh pits. It was the fun, like, holy shit, we're all enjoying this together.
Yeah.
This is the best. And it was like-minded people. For the most part, you got there, you're like, I could probably be friends with everybody in here,
because
we have this interest, and we seem like we're all like, oh, hey, man. You'd think the days that, you know, you'd see somebody with a shirt, oh, you like that band? I like them too. And you probably could have a good conversation.
Yeah.
Like you're probably from like-minded things. It was that, and it was like skateboard and bike dudes, but more just that influence, just because it was like a thing you did by yourself. Like, oh, you just, there's nobody, there's no team to push you.
Yeah.
There's no sports and there's no rank. I mean, there was contest, but it was like the skateboard kids were, what did you do last night? I just hit this curb for 3 hours trying to land one trick. Like, oh, then the satisfaction is just accomplishment.
Yeah.
And that's its own, I mean, it's athletic, but that's like.
And improving your skill.
Yeah.
Practice.
Yeah, I'm going to sit here and paint this painting. This is what I'm going to do and try and get it right.
Yeah.
And try and learn a different technique and, you know, be interested. Like, art, especially that kind of like, oh, think about where a light source is.
Mm-hmm.
You want, here's a, okay, I'm talking myself into a thing because I've had a lot of coffee. But people always talk about comedy, about finding your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't explain what that means to somebody. But it's like when you're painting, it's like, what's the light source? Like how you, oh, you say you're going to paint a still life, an apple. Mm-hmm. A light's coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
And that'll dictate how you color shadow. One side of uh-huh. it and put shadows on the other side. That's what finding your voice in comedy is like. Oh, it's the light source is coming from this angle. I'm going to talk about subjects from this angle.
I never thought of it that way. That's great.
You know, that's how I'm looking at this. Either from like my lens, like positivity. I'm going to look about curiosity. That's, I don't know. I'm talking on my ass, but.
No, I get
it. It kind of made some sense. And boy, we're getting into these things here. All right, you pick a thing.
Jake and Lo-Fi. Y'all's recommendation for Denver Biscuit Company was the highlight of my trip to Colorado. Thanks for the advice on my first trip to a dispensary. It didn't go unused. My question is whether or not you have any preferred spots to eat in Austin, Texas. Much appreciate all you guys do. I absolutely do, Jake. Everybody knows about Franklin Barbecue. That's probably the most popular mm-hmm. spot in Austin, if not the country. And it is well worth it. It is amazing. But if you don't feel like waiting 4 or 5 hours, man, in the same day, I ate at both Franklin, and then I went and ate at La Barbecue. La Barbecue, real damn good. Small portions, you know me. Right. Moderation. Check out La Barbecue, and I think you're going to like that, Jake. Yeah, it's right there. It's not a couple miles from Franklin. So go to Franklin if you can, you know. But if you don't feel like waiting, La Barbecue is, dare I say, just as good. But regardless, it's fucking amazing. So that's my Austin recommendation. If you're ever near Dallas, check out Pecan Lodge. That's amazing. And in Fort Worth, check out Panther City.
Pecan like the nut?
Yeah, pecan.
Did you say pecan? You don't say pecan?
It depends. Tomato, tomato. I do both. Depends. In the South, I say pecan. But out here, I say pecan. So
why?
Yeah, just, you know.
Is it pronounced pecan in the South?
Yeah, people in the South call it pecan pie. But, you know, it's tomato, tomato.
Pecans, pecan. I guess I don't say it enough to have a way.
Yeah. Noah Nelson asks, favorite Simpsons character. Is it sacrilegious to say I don't really give a shit about the Simpsons anymore? I don't dislike it, but it's just I don't have the time or energy to keep up with it.
I was putting one on. Where's the question again?
I mean, I like it when I see it. Favorite Simpsons character.
Yeah, I put some on the other night.
I like Ralph Wiggins. He's funny.
Wiggum?
Yeah. I'm in danger.
Yeah, it's the Simpsons. It's
my favorite joke of the Simpsons, and this is early on. Mm-hmm. It's just so simple, and it just really sums up this character. But Marge goes, Homer, let's go get something to eat. Mm-hmm. And Homer goes, something.
Oh, yeah.
That's such a great joke.
Yeah, sacrilegious. They gave us sacrilegious. It depends on the episode, who they're focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. Usually, if you got any Lenny or Carl action, I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah, I like those guys.
Mr. Burns probably going to make me laugh whenever he's on screen. Mm-hmm. Just him on the bowling team and going to the fan and his fingers just like. I'm gonna. Brad Thompson's got a good one. Do y'all think that we deserve to know if Squatch is real? I kind of hope that the government knows and isn't telling us because they would immediately become endangered by poachers. Okay. You know what? Although I think if the government knew, they wouldn't be protective of anything. Like, I don't think the government's a friend.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I think if the government knew, they've immediately tried to figure out if Sasquatch can be a super soldier.
Yeah.
But.
Or if they can tax it somewhere.
But yeah, if no one about it would endanger it. What about that, Dave? If you could know about it, but that very knowledge now puts it at risk.
Puts Sasquatch at risk?
Yeah.
I'd like to think that I would rise above and not do something just for my own selfishness.
Or just okay.
I don't want to put Sasquatch
not, not
at
for,
risk.
But the idea that if would you just in if in general the government's like Sasquatch real, we found one. Would you want that to happen?
It's kind of like when your favorite little indie band blows up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, nah, man, I was into them way before
Sass
that.
Sass and the Squatches.
Yeah. Nah, man. Well, and the other thing, too, there's so many disbelievers, so many haters. Like, nah, mm-hmm. fuck y'all. Y'all don't get this gift. I say, no, keep it on the down low. Let the true believers believe what they want to believe.
All right. So just keeping the faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Jesus coming back. Mm-hmm. Right? Come back, and then everybody's like, I'm into Jesus. No, you weren't around.
Mm-hmm.
Teetle J says, hey, fellas, wildfire season. Shit. Wildfire season on the way, and no wheels on Dave's main domicile. What is or should be in your bug-out bag? That's just a good question.
Yeah.
And that's a good question for any region, mm-hmm. for anywhere. Power outages,
mm-hmm.
communication loss.
I'm not worried about fires because I can just walk 0.3 mile and be in the ocean.
That's true. You got your new spot. No, you won't get fires by you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not by the woods or anything.
I'm good.
As far as what you should have in your house, obviously batteries, flashlights, little crank radio, something solar operated that you can charge devices with.
Mm-hmm.
They say, what do they say immediately? Keep your refrigerator closed if your power goes out. Keep as much of the cold in there as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, don't just open it like, well, I guess I got to eat something. Like, know what you're looking for if you go in there. Somebody was like, I've got, you know, shit out in the garage. And it's like, solar crank radio in case that's how you're going to get messages because cellular data or what will be down.
Mm-hmm.
Freeze-dried food, something to distill water, or like have water, mm-hmm. or I've got water in my Rotopax sitting out there.
And you got some of those straws, those filter straws?
Life straws are a good one. I mean, you want to get caught up in it. Go to REI, and then you could just convince yourself that anything there is survival gear.
Yeah.
But, I got the food.
Yeah.
They say food for like 3 to 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is earthquake country, so that's why I did start thinking about that stuff.
Handgun.
Yeah, firearm. And I got my BB guns. Mm-hmm. Again, that's a Jesse thing where he's like, I don't know, it's enough to shoot a squirrel.
Mm-hmm.
If it gets down to it, I can kill a squirrel.
Yeah.
But it's also, who has firearms but not the other supplies?
Mm-hmm.
And they want to come and take your supplies.
Absolutely.
I'd like to think that most responsible firearms owners have that in a way of self-defense, and because that's their mindset, would also have things in place.
Yeah, but there's always that random shithead.
Yeah, there's also, I guess that was a thing. Like Virginia had that big pro-gun rally.
Mm-hmm.
And I am, okay, this is my own, sorry to get sidetracked, Teetle J. But remember when, like, Trump's yelling about fake news, like, mm-hmm. and we're all like, you just don't respect journalists. It's not fake news. It's the fucking truth. But now how everybody's pissed because they feel like Bernie Sanders is being, like, covered unfairly by CNN. I agree. Like, yeah, that's, I'm like, oh, so it's almost like fake news?
Mm-hmm.
So by that way, is there some truth to what the Republicans were saying about how all the coverage is going to be just to smear Trump, even though he is a piece of shit, that it's like lopsided how much smear campaign.
Mm-hmm.
But now that it's happened to one of your guys, like, they're manipulating. It's like, well, yeah, that's what was happening before. And we're like, oh, you're just attacking journalists. Yeah. And that's where the journalism is the last bastion of free speech, and they could say whatever they want.
It's like any of these topics when you talk about policies. Like, the narrative bends to your favor.
Yeah, but there was that big, giant pro-gun rally, and mm-hmm. nothing happened. Like you didn't find any stories about it.
Yeah,
you didn't find. I'm not like Johnny Second Amendment over here.
Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah, where's the celebratory news stories about how thousands and thousands of armed individuals came completely peaceful protest?
Mm-hmm.
They cleaned up afterwards. They're like, we know how people feel about. We see these protests happen. There's garbage in the street. We cleaned up afterwards. I'm seeing pictures of, like, oh, what? Like, there's the one dude in military fatigues
The chubby guy.
Yeah, the chubby guy. But I saw the other picture where he's like, oh, here's two black guys with AR-15s. And like, oh, there's... And some guy, like an Asian guy, like armed minorities, like, which is the joke I've been making. You should gentrify the NRA.
Absolutely.
If you want to take that out of it.
Yeah.
Make it, you know, fucking get it, do that. But I do agree that if it was an all black guns rights march, mm-hmm. it would be responded to differently. But this was, what little coverage I saw of it seemed like it was like, oh, yeah, we took this whole, you think it's all racist? Now, look, we're all here.
Yeah.
Now, I saw the picture of the only two black guys that were there, but I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, probably not.
People like guns.
Yeah.
Of all kinds.
Yeah. There was some story that came out recently about how the NRA was pro gun regulations back when the Black Panthers were armed.
Oh, yeah. When, like, oh, now... Yeah, the NRA.
Oh, well, if they have them, then maybe we should regulate a little bit.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Just get every gay, trans, sign up regardless.
Yeah.
And dilute the voting populace of, you know, gerrymander it. Sign up and then vote these, I don't know if it's a voting council who gets, or like if it's elected presidents, then Wayne LaPierre guy. I don't know. I've been thinking lately about... purchasing a firearm.
Oh, man, you should.
Want to go to a gun range?
Sure, absolutely. Ty Babb, that's a good name. Ty Babb. You changed the BA to a CO, you got Ty Cobb. Dave, most hated fan base in college sports. Kyle, worst band fan base. Both, are they perhaps the same group? Probably not. Worst fan base in college sports? I mean, Alabama's fairly annoying, but I get it because, you know, basically a dynasty the last 10 years. I don't know the fan base per se, but I fucking can't stand Notre Dame. Everybody just thinks Notre Dame is just grandfathered into greatness. And not to bore you with like football stuff, but Notre Dame in football, they're
most of the Rudy College.
Most all the big schools are in a conference. You got the Southeastern Conference, you got the Pac-12, you got the Big Ten, you got whatever. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame's always been an independent. And what that means is they never have to play in a conference championship game. So, like, and they oftentimes benefit from that. And I don't know, all the heritage, people just, oh, Notre Dame. They never play anybody because they're not in a conference. Mm-hmm. They just play random teams, and they don't really have a true rival. I mean, I guess you could say, I don't know if they play Michigan every year or Ohio State every year, but they play some of those Big Ten schools a lot, but... I've just always been annoyed by just the heritage and the greatness of Notre Dame. Like, who gives a shit? Play somebody, you know? Okay. Fuck them. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't understand any of that. But get it out,
look
man.
On your face.
Get it out. Yeah. I know it's in Indiana, and it's the school that really...
Yeah, happened. Notre Dame's annoying. Alabama's annoying. Ohio State is annoying to me. That being said, I'm sure a lot of SEC schools are annoying to people outside of the South. So, but, yeah, if I had to narrow it down to one, it'd be Notre Dame. What's the worst band fan base? Who's just got a bunch of fucking goobers as fans? Other than, like, the really obvious, like, ICP or something, but...
I told you the Juggalos are going to be the ones that... That's the truth. If people were being honest and you think festivals are about just loving yourself, then you would go to that one.
Uh-huh.
Because that's a bunch of fat weirdos rolling around in the dirt. And that's truly empowering if they are comfortable with their bodies and it's not just wearing an Indian headdress with your supermodel body at Coachella. I think the Coachella fan base of just... I think it's more like the festival... Having never been there, but knowing how relieving it is in L.A. when it's Coachella weekend because people are gone.
Isn't that like, coming up? When is that, February, March?
I don't know. Yeah. It's like just dipshit rapture.
Uh-huh. That's a good question. Band with
the social distortion fan base, man.
Really?
All those, like...
What's their problem?
Just a bunch of fucking hard-ass rockabilly dorks. Going out tonight looking to get in a fight. Fuck you. These tickets were $40. Calm down. Watch the show. Go home. Take your fucking switchblade comb and your cuff jeans and get bent. I used to think it was the coolest, and I used that was the thing. Like all these shows in Chicago, like punk rock shows are always cool, always cool. And these dudes, like they're so, and I think they're just fulfilling the role of the greaser rockabilly dude. Like, like you can't be silly because silly's not cool. You just take yourself so seriously, and you look like a. And you look like a fucking cartoon wolf from Warner Brothers. So that's one that I can think of. I don't know. There's pretty obnoxious ones. I think anybody that goes overboard in fandom is a little bit like, why can't you have your own identity? Like, just your identity being like, I'm Star Wars. Everything's Star Wars. My house is Star Wars. My sheets are Star Wars. I wear Star Wars. I cosplay Star Wars. I'm like... You are boring.
Yeah, well, going back to the first part of that question, and I've mentioned this before, I'm a huge sports fan, but I'm fairly closeted. Like, you never see me rocking a jersey.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, I can like something without broadcasting it to the world via my appearance.
Yeah, wear band shirts and more like supporting a band. Yeah. Like, hey, this band's good. Check it out. But
like, sports teams don't need my support. You know, an indie band probably does. Yeah. But like, I don't need to win anybody over about the Atlanta Falcons, you know?
I understand if it's like the rooting for a thing. Like, all right, they're doing good. You want to kind of fly the colors.
But like, for that to be your identity.
If you saw somebody else wearing it.
Yeah.
You'd be like, all right. You know, like an easy bond. Even the cosplay stuff, I could see like, you put a lot of work into that.
Yeah.
People craft those things. Then they know that, all right, I got a year. It's like Halloween.
Uh-huh.
I got a year. And then I'm going to go where other people cosplay. And we're all going to get together and. You know, Comic-Con has never in that world, but you go and I get the excitement.
No,
of
I
it.
Get all that, yeah.
But if it's.
But if you're just walking around six days a week and all that garb.
No, like, what and you're are you just doing? Like, what's your personality? Your personality is Batman?
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Yeah, that's tough to be around.
Good luck. Sorry about your parents.
Card accepted.
This Christmas at Tesco, get great prices on McVitie's Victoria biscuits, now only £4 from £5 with club card prices, helping you become more Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. Tesco, every little helps. Most large stores, Victoria biscuits ends 26th of December, excludes Whoosh, club card or app required.
Amanda says, so coyotes have been biting people in Chicago recently. I have been reading about that.
Oh, yeah, there's that story. Thank you for everybody who
people
sent
real
me that
excited.
Shit.
It was the one the guy choked out a coyote.
Yeah, he killed him with his bare hands.
Where was that? That was in...
I don't...
That wasn't Chicago.
I feel like this was maybe somewhere in New England, maybe. Okay. New Hampshire, Vermont, maybe.
But then in, yeah, but then in Lincoln Park, I guess they were out there. Honestly, if these coyotes want to pick off a few...
but I told
Lincoln
you.
Park Trixies.
I told you. It can be done. I mean, I would fucking destroy a coyote.
Well,
I'll take two on one.
Amanda said,
I'll knock their heads together like the Three Stooges.
Amanda said, when he heard about this, my husband told me to ask y'all if these bitings are happening because Dave hasn't done a show here in the last year.
Yeah,
they're not afraid anymore.
I need to get back up there.
If no one is going to dole out some street justice to them, why shouldn't they be walking the streets chomping on pedestrians? That's a very that's understandable, Amanda. You're correct, Dave. You got to book a show there.
Yeah,
show these yotes. Who's boss?
I'm working on it right now. Hopefully March or April.
Okay, well, tell them they got a couple more months of lawlessness till Dave gets to town.
Yeah, I'm coming, bringing hell with me. I got one. William Shoulders. Hey, Colin Day, first-time caller, long-time listener. I was just wondering what your guy's first legal drink was. I was also wondering if you'll have a P.O. box where I could send a replacement buck. Oh, this is William William I met in Fort Worth. A very nice gentleman who brought me a gift bag full of great stuff. He brought Torchy's hot sauce, some barbecue sauce, I think. He's the one that got you some Bucky's. Bucky's sour gummy bears that were for you that just didn't make it.
That's all right.
Didn't survive the trip.
I'm glad they turned you on to being a gummy fan. Yeah.
But, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, William, him and his buddy drove like 2 or 3 hours to come see me.
Oh, shit.
That's always...
That's an old Texas commute. That's all that is.
That's always so flattering. So thank you, William. But yeah, just a whole gift bag full of nonsense. But going back to your question, first legal drink. What was your first legal drink? That's a great question.
I can't remember the very first one.
Mm-hmm. I know mine.
Oh no, that's what we did. Talk to my mom. Talk to her later. I remember what it was. The weekend after I graduated high school, I didn't drink in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I went to my buddy Scott's house, and my friend Eleanor came over. She's like, "We need you to supervise." And we drank. We're like, we don't know how to drink, so we drank Tang and vodka.
Okay, that doesn't sound awful. Orangey.
Yeah, we were mixing it with beers, and I barfed real hard.
Okay. Yeah. Why didn't you drink in high school?
I just wasn't around it. Hmm. I remember going to one party where people were drinking. It wasn't in my group.
Hmm.
I wasn't with the party kids.
See, I didn't drink in high school, but it was around me. I was the only one in my peer group that didn't drink.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really – it was just – it wasn't a religious thing. It was just more of a, man, I don't want to disappoint my parents and call them from jail. Or, you know, I was just trying to avoid typical teenage pitfalls. And that just seemed like an easy one to avoid.
Yeah. And I did get caught up in like, it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a good kid. I don't drink.
Mm-hmm.
I was like a, you know, smart mouth and screw around, but never like a kid that I didn't drink or smoke or do anything.
I was straight edge before I knew that was a thing.
Well, no.
I didn't really know it was a thing.
Because it's not an identity. You just didn't do that. So it's not like you're like, I don't do it. It's like,
yeah.
No,
yeah,
nobody did until they did.
Yeah. And I didn't give a shit that all my friends did. Like, I didn't judge them. I didn't look down on them. I was just like, nah, I don't know.
No, my sister always had like
more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah, I didn't realize she was like, they were doing the... their move was to go to their friend's house and just take a little bit of each liquor mm-hmm. out of all the bottles in the cabinet, so not one liquor would dip down too low. They would all – the levels would lower That's equally. Smart. But that was their drink, was just of – yeah.
A kamikaze.
An amateur Long Island iced tea before school. It's like, I was drunk all the time in high school. I'm like, you were the good student.
My first drink wasn't until I was 25, and it was – half a bottle of Goldschlager.
Ugh.
I was drinking it with my girlfriend at the time.
That is an early... That's a beginner drink. 99 bananas, Goldschlager.
And I remember drinking it, and I was having drink. She was more experienced with alcohol, mm-hmm. but it was just like, all right, I'm 25. Let's see what this is about. And had several drinks of it, and it was over the course of like an hour, and I was just like, I don't fucking feel nothing.
Yeah,
I just kept saying, I don't feel anything. Like, I should feel something by now. I remember we were watching Sopranos. I was 25.
That's like a go-to.
Watching Sopranos, drinking Goldschlager. And finally, I just, like, turned the bottle up. Just gook, 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 gook. Because I was getting frustrated because I felt like I'd had several drinks and didn't feel any effect. And, oh, boy, did I feel the effects. I think I puked.
It's because that gold slices your throat so the alcohol could get in your bloodstream quicker.
Yeah,
the early days of just because nobody knew how to appreciate the taste. And so you're just doing shots of bonkers shit like 99 bananas or what's the licorice one? Well, there was a Jägermeister.
Jäger. I don't mind.
We would drink. We would always drink the cheapest beer. It was always funny when like Pabst got popular. Like
mm-hmm.
we were just anything that came in a 30-pack with Pabst. We'd drink Red Dogs. My buddy, one of the worst smells I ever smelled. My buddy was drinking Little King's Cream Ale.
Cream Ale.
Little King's 40s. We were doing 40s. I used to do 40s because I hated bringing like a case of beer to the party and be like, hey, let me get one of those. Uh-huh. I drink 40s. I'm like, you can't have any of this.
Yeah.
But one of them blew up in his trunk in the summertime. just malt liquor beer, like in a hot summer trunk.
I remember the first time.
Fuck off.
I was
nasty.
Trying to drink beers back then, and I guess this is a real common, you know, response, but it was so gross. It tasted like bread soda.
Yeah.
I couldn't get past, like, how could anybody enjoy this?
Yeah, what is it about?
It tastes like bread
Like, obviously, your taste buds change, but when you're a kid, you're like, I just want sweet stuff. Like, I can't imagine, like, first thing in the morning eating a Lucky Charms right now. I could still appreciate a Lucky Charms, but, like, as a kid, that's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, adult, like, black coffee, liquor. Like, I still don't like beer. Like, I still don't like, oh, boy, I want one.
See,
so
that's
bad.
That's surprising to me. I just assume you did, because I love the taste of beer now. Like, I would drink it with every meal if I could.
Yeah, I don't drink it with food. I can't. I'm like, no. That's...
See, I do with beer. I can't drink liquor with food. Yeah. I don't want a Jack and Coke or a bourbon on the rocks while I'm eating.
Wine.
But a beer with food all day.
Yeah.
All day.
I drink it.
You don't like a
purpose.
Nice hot dog and a beer?
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
That's so...
Beer that never complements food.
Oh, I see.
It never
I disagree.
Makes food taste better.
Oh, I think it does. Mexican food... Oh, Mexican food in a Modelo or a hot dog in a Budweiser.
The only food that tastes better with beer is sushi.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I never thought of that. Why is that? I wonder.
I don't know if it's like a temperature thing.
Huh?
Like a hot, melty kind of food? No way. But like cold seafood? I don't know. That's where I'm at. All right. Alex Wynn. Hey, fellas. If you could opt out of sleep for the rest of your life, naturally, sans meth, but you'd have 75% of the time you would have spent sleeping subtracted from your lifespan, would you do it?
Well, no. Why would you want to do that? I mean, add up all the time I would sleep.
75% of the time you would have been sleeping. Sleeping's a third of your life.
Uh-huh.
So you would have...
Well, whatever the equation is, my answer would be no. Just because, now I'm going to die at 50 instead of 70?
Would be sick. You say you're going to die at 40 instead of 60.
Or, you know, whatever the math is.
But 40 years of never... Do other people have this situation? Because then it's still like, that's closing time. Not for me. I never have to go to sleep. But everybody else does. Then it's just you being
lonely.
Alone at night all the time. But... That's a curious, because then, all right, every night, like, I'm going to do this thing with this, like, would you still want to sleep? Is it like getting, like, the lap band surgery where you want to eat food, but you can't fit enough in there? There's something satisfying about sleep. There's
Well, it's just
like when you lay down, you're comfortable. Yeah, like, are you still lazy? Like, what if you're just lazy?
Well, and it would mess with your timeline, you know? Like, if you never slept, like... Oh, the days and the calendar and like, I'm done with this day because I'm going to sleep and I wake up and now it's a start to a new day.
Well, like, wouldn't you just be like, all right, night shift?
Yeah, it would just be a never ending.
Now I do this thing at night and then a day you do all the stuff social.
That'd be exhausting. And that's the question.
Yeah, I don't know if what I would get done that I would enjoy, like, I'm going to die at 40, but the things I wanted to do. I don't know. Anyway, he says, Dave, I'm curious, since you're into records and country, have you ever checked out the album Sawmill Man by Cast King?
Unfamiliar.
I think it'd be up your alley. So that's for you.
I'll look into it. Thank you.
Got a question? We got lots of questions. I think we're going to have to take some of these questions for next month.
Yeah. Here's a quick one. Burley Gates asked, Dave, my mother-in-law got me a Smithy 12-inch cast iron skillet for Christmas. Any tips, tricks, or advice? For a new cast iron user, well, step one, you got to season that bad boy. And what I mean by that is preheat your oven to about 400. Rub a good coat of vegetable oil all over, even the outside and the bottom and the handle, the entire thing. Nice, smooth coat of vegetable oil or canola oil. I wouldn't recommend olive oil. But oil that shit up, get it nice and even, and bake that bastard for about 2 hours on 400. That will season it, that will kind of put a nice coat on it, and also make it last longer. And you need to do that about a couple times a year. And, never the dishwasher, never any soap. You probably already know that. Just hot water, scrub it with a brush with no soap, dry it immediately. And, that's really all you need to know with a cast iron skillet. But yeah, they're fun, man. They're fun. You can really cook some great steaks on that thing. Mm. I love a cast iron skillet.
Oh, our pal Trixie Emerson says, I got my 21st birthday coming up soonish. What's the first alcoholic beverage I should consume? Well, you just heard what we told you.
What is a good beverage for someone who's never drank before? Man.
It's your 21st birthday. It's not about say, your friends.
Bourbon and Coke.
Did your friends ever just like do the 21st birthday? Like, all right, we're going to give you a cement mixer. We're going to give you a prairie fire.
I don't know what any of that is.
Oh, really?
No.
Cement mixer is two separate shots.
I spent my 21st birthday alone.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Well, just like somebody taking you, like, we're going to get you drunk and we're going to make you throw up.
I got a gun license and went and saw Something About Mary by myself on my 21st birthday.
That's depressing.
Yeah. Just living in a town, didn't have any friends. I was between girlfriends.
Better have a firearm.
I went.
I got some cold steel to keep me company.
Got the gun license. Went to Longhorn. Bought myself steak. Had a nice little.
Need any bullets?
Just by myself, and then I went and saw Something About Mary. Anyway,
did you have your gun? Was it on your hip at Longhorn?
No.
I remember my one friend. Yeah, like cement mixer was. You drink a shot of Bailey's, and then you drink a shot of like lime juice. And it curdles in your mouth like cement, and you swallow it.
Oh, no.
Another one, Prairie Fire is tequila with hot sauce in it.
Well, that don't sound terrible.
And there's a few others that, like, yeah, they're just like, make them throw up. It's his 21st birthday. But my one buddy, Pete, we took him out, and he would just drink them all. He's like, I love them. He's a fucking psycho. And we couldn't make him throw up. He's like, I'll order one for my – I like a cement mixer. I'm like, you don't order that for yourself. He's like, I don't give a shit. Give it to me. Bartender's like, all right, you lunatic. But, if you've never had an alcoholic beverage, get a beer. Have a beer.
Yeah.
Learn what a nice cold beer at a bar is.
Mm-hmm. And you're not going to like it at first.
No.
I had to drink about 10 or 15 before I was like, I get it.
I'm still drinking them. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to get it. Get a cold beer. Find out when you're going to see what other people are drinking. I don't know what your flavor profile is. Get a shot of all right, you're not going to appreciate what's good unless you drink the trash.
Yeah.
So if you get a shot of Jose Cuervo Gold, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty rough by itself.
And I remember drinking that. And
margarita's a good starter drink.
Ooh, margarita is a very good starter drink. Yeah, get yourself a Cadillac margarita.
Yeah.
But Cuervo Gold, I remember drinking that. I'm like, I'll never drink tequila ever again. This is horrific.
Hmm.
And it wasn't until my cousin visited me here, and he's like, we're going to get, let's do shots of tequila. I'm like, I can't do it, dude. They're so nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I was a whiskey drinker in Chicago. I think region dictates cocktail a lot of times.
Probably.
Chicago, like, tequila is like a fun, warm, kind of summertime thing. And Chicago, like, you know, you drink whiskey and beer. That's what you drink.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always drinking. I started with Crown Royal for some reason. Doing shots of Crown Royal with my cousin. Then obviously, you eventually move on to Jameson. That's what you move on to in Chicago. Some cheap Irish whiskey.
I don't like Jameson.
No? Well, yeah, you're a Southern fella. You like Jack Daniels and Jim Beams.
Jim Beam's my thing.
Yeah, no, Jameson wasn't good, but it just came default. But so, like, the one time I tried, I think, Jose Cuervo when I was young, I was like, oh, God. And then I got a shot of good tequila, good silver tequila.
Mm.
I mean, it bites, but it doesn't taste like, I'm going to vomit immediately.
It's the good one I used to drink, La Herradura, something like that.
Herradura, yeah.
Yeah, Herradura that was good. I enjoyed that.
Get yourself a beer and a shot. Sip on that shot. It's not going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would say margarita. And the thing is, you're going to mix your alcohols. Big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because you think, why not? I want to try all these
things. A little bit of everything.
Things.
Yeah.
It's not a buffet.
Yeah.
You can't treat it like that.
No.
You got to pick a lane and stay in it. But it's your 21st birthday, Trixie. You're going to get drunk. You're gonna barf. Be with friends. Be with friends you trust. Be with good friends.
Yes. Be
not
careful.
Only friends you trust, like being in a bar could be sketchy anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Being like young and new drunk at a bar, be be with friends, and also friends that are going to take care of you when you inevitably barf. Mm-hmm. Have a good pal that's like, all right, I'm going to supervise this.
Yeah.
Or do it at home. I don't know. All right.
I think we got too many on this one. Here's what we'll do, like you suggested. Let's just answer the rest of these next month rather than skip over them. Because some of these are really good. Some of them are very long and thought out, so I don't want to just toss them aside. Whatever we didn't get this month.
People are taking the time to...
Yeah. If we didn't get it this month, we will definitely... I tell you what, we won't even solicit new questions next month. We'll get to these. So.
All right. Well, but thanks so much, everybody.
Yeah, we really appreciate the patronage. We really appreciate not only that you're a patron, but that you even give a shit enough to type in a question. So to type it, you just type it into the box.
Hey.
But yeah, thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Y'all been true sweethearts.
Yeah, keep in touch.
God bless all y'all's families.
I don't do well enough in terms of responding to emails and messages, but I'm going to try to keep slaving away at that and try to get better and respond more to that. But
get better, Dave.
Never hesitate to reach out. We always
get better.
I always you know appreciate it. So yeah, man.
All right, go fuck yourselves.
The Boogie Monster. We'll be right back.